Hello.
Hello.
Hola, what's up, girl?
How are you?
I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound cool. All
right, cool. Just I'm in the mall charging my phone. While I was charging, I was on the phone with finishing up this interview so I can
start working.
Yeah, so I'm just chilling in the mall right now. Selling some shirts. My homegirl in Philly who made my shirt. Sent me a box of shirts down. She bought me a box. So I'm just out here just trying to make some money, you know.
I see. Look, ain't we all? When I was coming in the house, I was like, let me have my breakdown. I was like, because I was miming, so I was like, let me have my breakdown. So if we gonna do this, we gonna do it.
We are. And that's the thing. We gonna make this. I need like a weekly series, to where I plan on like this is game that people be paying for.
Yeah.
So. Me and you could just talk, just shop. But other people, they're not getting this shit for free anymore because they don't even pay attention to me now for free.
I get it.
So I like to thank everybody for coming on and listening to a very special series that I'm going to do with a very special person that's near and dear to my heart that I've known for a very, very long time. Miss Kendra Ferris, how are you feeling today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm gonna get some sound effects one day, but in the meantime, I just gotta add my way. You know how I get down.
Yeah,
so, of course. So me and you've been talking about setting up LLCs. You've been putting me onto some game that I didn't even know about. And I just thought it was beneficial to have not only someone of your expertise, but have a black woman who knows her shit on my podcast. I think it's very important. This is monumental right here.
Well, I appreciate all of that. I do.
So that we can jump in, what's the first thing that we are talking about today?
So, hey, let me tell you something. This is your world, so you kind of guide it the way that you want to.
You're gonna be like my what's her name? What's the girl I hate from Breakfast Club?
Not
Angela Yee. You're gonna be a better version of Angela Yee for me.
I actually like Angela a lot, but you know
she's okay, but she got a lot of insecurities for me, and I don't like that. I don't like that for a black woman.
I get what you're saying, but I actually like her, but you know, So what we can start basically, like, you know, me and you chop it up all the time, but basically like wherever you want to start. I mean, I'll start by saying, like, disclaimer here, people, you know, are free to fact check, and, you know, people who listen to the pod, of course, are free to fact check and things of that nature. I'm giving things based off of my financial experience and my expertise. Mm-hmm. Do not take everything that I say as gold. Some things do not work for people, but I'm also an entrepreneur. So a lot of these things I had to find out, like, how to do myself. And I'm just sharing the gift with everybody else. So wherever you want to start, I'm fine with that.
I think that's very important because I'd rather hear from somebody who looked like me, who talked like me, mm-hmm. who's been through the same struggles as me that I can see evolving. And not only evolving, but I can reach out to you and say, hey, I'm going through this. I went through this. What did you do? And you can be like, boom. And a lot of information you gave me, I ran with it because I'm like a deer. I'm like not a deer in the headlights. I'm like the kid who goes in the dark room and can't find a light switch. You know what I mean? So, but first, okay, let's start from the basis, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What is an LLC?
So an LLC is a limited liability corporation. Could be something else, but I'm pretty sure it's limited liability corporation. Definitely knows limited liability. So
you are absolutely correct.
I try and do what I can. I just and disclaimer, I just finished studying for my mortgage license, so my brain is like mush right now. But
I ain't gonna pull too much information from you today.
We're gonna jump into mortgages another day, but today
because I need to get on top of that myself.
Okay. So it's a limited liability corporation. And basically what a LLC is, a lot of people When they go into business, they may open up something that you have, like, that's called like a sole proprietorship. Sole proprietorships are basically like you using your name to represent as a business. And sole proprietorships are literally the easiest ones to open because you only have to use your social security number. So you could be doing business as Julia Hart. And then you have you may be cutting lawns or something like that, and you use your social. They're the easiest thing to go into. You don't have to like get any certificates. You don't have to register necessarily anything except your social. So it's nothing that separates you from the business. From me working in banking, what I learned when I started actually opening my own businesses is that instead of doing sole proprietorships, is less liability for you if you open up an LLC. So mm-hmm. with the LLC, you could be doing Julian Hart LLC, whatever the name of the company is. But if something were to ever happen, like say you're out here cutting lawns and you cut somebody's gnome and they're like, I'm suing you because you cut the gnome head off my gnome. So if you have a sole proprietorship, they can actually go for your personal entity. So your property, your house, your car, anything mm-hmm. connected to your social. Whereas mm-hmm. with an LLC, if they were to say, I'm suing, you know, Julian Hart LLC, then they can sue you, but you can also buy insurance for that LLC and things like that to help cover things like that. And they can't do anything associated with your own property. So your house, your car, everything is safe because your LLC is protected by an EIN number that's issued by the government. And then the business is literally its own entity.
Yeah, my daughter starts on Monday, and my son starts next week too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that someone was asking me a question.
It's okay.
Yeah, you're good. I'm listening to you, though, love.
No, it's okay. I know you're going to go through and like chop it up and all that stuff, so we're good. But yeah, so that's basically the difference.
Yes, I feel like that's very important, especially the longer you're in business with, and the more dangers you have to where like everybody isn't going to do good business with you.
Oh yeah, and, no. Even if you do good business, you're always going to have a consumer, a customer, a member. Whomever, you know, frequents your business, there's always going to be somebody who does not like your service, or some people are just like, I'm going to say I don't like this service because X, Y, and Z, just because they may not like you. So they say, I'm not going to like the service. So by having the LLC, it separates you in the business, which is the smartest thing to do, honestly, because like when you're building your business, you don't want to have your personal stuff like hooked to it. No, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, if you have a sole proprietorship and somebody decides to sue, they could take your house. And it's like, well, wait, you didn't work for this house. I worked for this house. Versus if it's a business thing, it should stay business. It's kind of like I always tell people, especially when I open business accounts and things for people, keep your business and your personal separate. That works well for people when they're doing business taxes, when they're building business credit, when they're buying things for their business, they have a business checking account. Keep those things separate, because once that personal money and the business money starts intermingling, it can get really messy, especially around like tax time. And the IRS, who we're all afraid of, when they decide that they want to come and take your little coins, you can't really differentiate, oh, this was for the business and this was for that, because the first thing that they're going to say is, oh, well, this should have been going into a business checking account. This should have been under LLC, or it should have had an EIN attached to it or something like that. I think that's where most people get scared about opening businesses and things like that, because they don't know how to do the paperwork, the documentation, and they don't have anybody to guide them.
Yeah. And I feel like that's been my biggest, not my biggest issue, but my biggest issue talking to other young people who are like barbers, who own hair salons, food, clothing. They're not set up properly. So when they want to expand or they want to go buy equipment for their business, they can't.
Yeah.
Because they don't have business credit, and they're like, well, I have a business. And I'm like, well, what have you done to show that you have a business? Because I know you have a business, but banks don't know. The government don't.
Yeah.
And then what we started doing fake loans. We started doing PPA fraud. And if we had legitimate business set up, when that PPA hit, we would have been good.
That's exactly. And see, you know, the thing that got me with people when they got the PPP loans and stuff is I was scared to do them because there was so much fraud to it. And I actually have businesses. And I was like, and my businesses are set up right, but because there was so much fraud with them, I was like, I don't even want to be caught up in that mess. The amount of people who did all of those loans, they could have capitalized on way much more than they did. Because, I mean, the amount of Louis Vuitton and Gucci that was probably bought with those PPP loans, like, ridiculous. Whereas you could have used those funds for something more substantial to help grow your business. Even if it was just buying equipment or something like that, you could have used it to grow your actual business.
Yeah, I would have definitely got a whole studio with that, got equipment. And then when they came after me, I would have been like, hey, this is what I used it for. This shows a track record. I got receipts.
Yeah.
That shows the money going into my business bank account and going out of my business bank account. And I mean, a lot of the banks now, even the online business bank accounts, they provide tax forms for you. They provide, you know, all the documentation you need to show somebody your receipts.
Oh yeah.
So it's a lot easier than what we're making it seem like. And it took me to go explore and like, oh wait, I can get this bank account here and have all my money go deposit cash at Walgreens into that bank account, and it shows cash going in. It's just a matter of what you willing to do to get your business where you want it to be.
Yeah, the thing is now we have something, we have technology. So literally when I was like starting my business, and by the way, so I know people might be like, well, what businesses do you have? So I have a couple of businesses. I have Concoctions by K, which is my drink business. So when you saw like I went through bartending school. That's what that was for. And then I have Studio 522, which is like my t-shirt business where I like make t-shirts and things for people. I also have Lit Ventures, which is the very first business that I opened. And Lit Ventures focuses on financial literacy and like resume and professionalism training. So
do you have a link tree to all these or no?
I don't. You know, one thing, like, you know how you, like, you know how me and you talked about, like, you were like, I don't know much about finances and I'm weak in this area. So I'm weak with, and I'm not afraid to say it, I'm weak with the social media marketing of it. Like, when it comes to setting up link trees and stuff, I'm like, what? So I suck at that stuff. Now, you've always been a technology guy, so it's probably like the back of the hand for you. But I suck at that type of stuff. I hate setting up those things. But you know what? Me and you going to talk on the side, and then you can show me how to do all that stuff. And I'm good with that.
Yeah, because
you
see? Because
that's not working.
Because you could go on there, and they have analytics that show you how many people are pressing on your links. And I've noticed that it's a lot easier than saying, I got 8 businesses. Here go my link tree. Here go the QR code for it. You can look and see what I have. Like, if you go on here, I have every single link to every single platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, my t-shirt. My t-shirt takes you to my homegirl website where she had put my shirt on her website.
Okay.
So you could click on there and order your shirt, you know, and if we work together, I would love to wear, I send you my design, and that is on your website. And if people have another place to go to, to grab the shirt from you.
We'll put it into existence when we work together, because you're going to show me how to do all of those
things. Oh, no, we are already working together. They're dummy.
We can definitely do that. So, like, I have those three businesses. And I remember when I started separating them, I actually have another one, which is a daycare, but I'm not fully into the daycare yet because that's a lot of training. So it's a lot of licensing and things like that. So I'm currently like training for that. But as far as like the name and like locking the LLC down, that's done. I always do that stuff first. So
you need to have a daycare spot. I'm not saying, but you need to. It's so many women that are down here in Houston alone that are like single mothers that have traveled from different parts of the United States that struggle with child care because it's way more expensive out here than it is in Philadelphia. Like,
seriously?
Yeah, because you got to think about it. Pennsylvania is a Commonwealth state. They care about the Commonwealth of their people.
Yeah.
Texas is like, YOLO, you only live once. That's the
Texas is wild.
Yeah, they don't get, yo, you talk about food stamps, bro. Yo, they don't care, man. They don't care if you got 8 kids. If you got, if there's a man in the crib, like I had to take my name off the lease to get for my people to get food stamps, man.
I hear Texas is a wild place. I hear
yeah, I mean, it's in the place. It's the wild, wild west, man.
When you told me you were there, I was like, yikes.
I love Houston, though. Houston is a melting pot of... The thing I like about here is hustlers that here are here. Like, you know, we from Philly, so we're born. Yes. It's in our blood to hustle. Like,
always hustling.
I'm sitting here at the lunch table with a box open, with my shirt open. Mm-hmm. I've already sold 3 shirts.
There you go.
And, you know, it's just... It is what it is. I'm not out here like, hey, you want to get a shirt? Because I wear my shirt regular, and people be like, that's a dope-ass shirt. And I'm like, damn, only if I had supply on me.
Yeah.
Now I do. So you have no choice.
Yeah. There's the marketing. That's the marketing part of it. I think that's where we, like, I don't want to say we as a people, because you do have people who really, like, do well in business, but I think that they don't. You kind of maybe psych yourself out about what the analytics of business are. And honestly, anything that you want to know in business, like, it's a simple Google search away. So, like, when I wanted to sign up for my EIN, I went on the website. I went on and I searched how to do it. And there were, like, all these websites that came up and was like, oh, pay $500. We'll get you an EIN and this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't got $500. So nope. I looked for some other ones. Oh, do $200. So I went on the IRS website. And I see it's like, sign up for your EIN. And I'm like, okay. People will pay somebody to get them an EIN where it costs you nothing to go on to IRS.gov and set up your EIN by yourself.
It's free.
It's free. People don't know that, though. But it's a free thing. You go on IRS.gov. You click where it says get you an EIN. You just need basic information, what industry you're in. So whether that's clothing, hospitality, whether you sell clothes, there's a whole plethora of things that you can put. You put your name, your address. If your business address is the address that you have, then you can use your address. Or if you don't want to associate it, that now they have like web addresses that you can get for your business. So. Right. It all just depends on, like, how deep you want to go into it. But, like, when I started, I put my address. I put the apartment that I was at because that's where I was doing business out of. So, I think that people just don't understand that you can go on there and do it. And I think people think that it's a hard thing to do. And it's really not. It's just that we don't have the education sometimes to know about it. Because it's not like they teach us this stuff in school.
No, so, I mean, even though I graduated from Penwood in 2004... with a major in small business, it still didn't teach me how to set up anything. It just taught me the structure and the management of small businesses. But as far as making your own small business, why would they? I mean, we learned the Pledge of Allegiance. I know that from the back of my hand.
And I don't exactly. Even pledge it. Did you know lift every voice and sing, though?
Hey. Hey. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, you know, I spent most of my high school watching Roots.
Not Roots.
You know?
I'll take it. I mean, the thing is, I think that a lot of people think these things are hard because, granted, we don't have the financial literacy, like, in our schools and things like that. So, I grew up in Philadelphia. I live in Philadelphia. You know that, of course. I graduated from Overbrook in 06. And when I left...
We old heads.
okay, I just told my age because somebody's counting on their fingers like, what in the, how many hours? So,
right, exactly.
So, I left Overbrook, I went to Old Dominion University in Virginia. When I went to ODU, I went and my major was nuclear medicine. So, I was like, I want to go. This was the best school that I had found for it. I wanted to be an oncologist.
Oncologist. So, oh wow, that's exactly surprisingly. I just got my vasectomy a couple years ago.
Not the vasectomy.
No,
oncology is the cancer. Is the cancer doctors?
What the?
You talk? Are you thinking gynecologist?
No, gynecologist is for women.
That's for women. I thought
the oncologist is for. I thought that was my doctor. I don't know. Maybe I went to like a back alley and got it done. I don't know.
I hope not. I'm gonna look it up. Cause now I'm like, wait, what? No, we're gonna figure that out. Who you went to? Right. But
Yeah, we're gonna make sure because I got a couple females asking me for proof that I got it done first. You hear me?
I mean, well, do they give you a certificate for that?
I don't know if they give a completion for getting it done.
I'm like, well, how do they know?
I told her, I said, well, let me call my doctor real quick and get in.
Because I don't know how you would, I don't think I should be giving you my medical records. That's a HIPAA violation, I'm sure, but that's here and right there. But we'll see. So I went to ODU, went for nuclear medicine, and then I got it.
Oh, no, you cool. My Bluetooth had died. Okay. And I wanted to make sure our 20 minutes of talking was saved.
There you go.
So I just wanted to break it down in sessions.
Yeah,
so
no, I get it.
We talked about a lot, and these things are – the technology, even though it's great, is also – well.
Yeah, so, it can be a hindrance if you don't know. So just like when me and you had talked and you were like – you feel like some people don't know about financial – they don't know about, like, financials and things like that. That's how some people feel about technology. I don't feel like they're, like – in our community, there's really, like, a push – on like technology and financial literacy.
Yeah.
Of course, because the powers that be, they don't necessarily want to see us, you know, doing big things. So
no, this whole conversation right here is being recorded and it's going to be used for incrimination later.
For sure. Okay, they're going to be knocking on the door like
hey, are you trying to empower your people? No, we can't have that. Don't shit, buddy.
Don't bring your people up. We're not having that. So
no.
There's
no, fuck
that. So what I was saying before we went off is that so I went originally for nuclear medicine. I left in my sophomore year. I came home, and then I went to Temple. But before I started going to Temple, I started working at a bank. So I just wanted a job. I just was like, let me just get a job, and you know, start working. So I started off at this bank, and I was a teller. I stayed there for about 5 years, and in that time, I got promoted to like a business teller, then I was a store supervisor,
right?
And then I went on to be customer service supervisor. It was a bunch of titles. So but in those at that time, I didn't even realize the people around me, so like my family, my friends, a lot of them didn't know like necessarily like how to open up like checking accounts and in business, forget about it, because nobody was even thinking about business, and I was like 19, 20. So what I find is like when people are coming in and they go to these like traditional banks and things like that, they don't realize the information that they need. So like if you're opening up a business checking account, you do have to have an EIN, whether that's a sole proprietorship, limited liability, or whatever, corporation, whatever. You have to have an EIN. They're looking for that EIN. They want to make sure you have all of your stuff because they'll shoot you down. If you have, for instance, like, When I opened Studio 522, I had to give what was called a fictitious name certificate. And basically what a fictitious name certificate is that if I have an entity that's in any other name outside of Kendra Ferris, that entity has to have a fictitious name certificate certified with the government. So you have to have all of it, like planned out, all the documentation, all of that stuff. You have to have those. And I don't think people know those things. So
no,
same thing we talked about, the DUNS number. I didn't learn about a DUNS number until I opened my first business, Live Ventures.
Before we, you know, because I'm familiar with that now, and I was 36 years old when
when figured somebody out what explained to me, yep.
No, somebody said to me, like, you got your DUNS number? I'm like, no, what's that? And literally, like, I went on the website, applied for it.
Yep.
And yeah, they called me, asked me what my business was about. They said, oh, we would love to give you a DUNS number. I'm like, oh, I wish I knew this when I started my entity like 2 years ago.
And people don't understand it. The thing is, there's a lot of businesses because after a while, it just gains one. So like, if you apply for like any type of like accounts or anything like that, you'll automatically get one. So when I had the adventure, I had a DUNS number after like a year, and I didn't know I had a DUNS number.
Wow.
And basically what it DUNS number basically is, it's required for you to receive like your business credit report and things like that. The DUNS number is kind of like an EIN, but it's for business credit reporting only. And the people who actually do, well, now you know this, but the people who do that, it would be Dun & Bradstreet. That's who you actually like get grants from, cooperatives and things like that. That's who handles like business credit. So when I got it, I was like, well, what is a DUNS number? And literally when I looked it up, it was like that a DUNS number is just designed to enhance the credibility of your business and enable potential customers or lenders to learn about your company. So it's basically for the government to see that you actually have a business that is actually building business credit, and for people to be able to see your business if they search for you like on the internet or something like that.
Also, too, I feel like it does build legitimacy. Like it,
oh, yeah.
It shows like you actually care about putting in, it's like creating a social media profile and, yeah. and filling in every single blank.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing that I look at. Like when I go in and it's like certain things that I'm like, oh, I need to add this to my profile.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to add this to my profile.
It's like a LinkedIn for business.
There you go.
LinkedIn for business.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it's LinkedIn for business. But
what it does is it makes me feel like I accomplished a lot. Like when I go on there mm-hmm. and I look at my profile and I'm like, wow, this is public.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, it definitely establishes, that's the word I was looking for, was legitimacy. So like if you say, you know, I have a podcast, you know, I own Melanin Dads LLC. If somebody wanted to go, you know, if a person of some whatever wanted to see, okay, well, let me see, you know, what he does with this or anything, they look you up, they can find it that way.
Yep.
If you want to apply for like grants and things like that and say, well, this is my business and this is what I do for this business, it's tailoring to this market, they can look you up and see that's exactly what you do. So yeah, right. it is definitely for legitimacy. I feel like it does give you one of those building blocks to business to show like this isn't like a hobby. Because I feel like if you don't have the paperwork behind your business, people are like, this is not a business, this is a hobby.
Right, exactly. If I know what the work I put in.
Oh yeah.
I don't want nobody thinking that, especially a bank or somebody that's trying to give me some money.
Yeah.
And
as I would say, like as free as banking is right now, like because you know back I don't want to say back in the day because we're not even that old, but it's like traditional banking was very like cut straight. So if you wanted to like go into a bank and you wanted to get a loan from them, you would have to bring like a business proposal. Some of them still do actually require that, depending on how conservative your bank is. But you can apply for a business loan in person. You can apply for it online. As long as you have like the business credit to go behind it and you can show the financial, you can pretty much get a business loan. But back in the day, you used to have to like come in, you have to do like basically a whole type of portfolio thing in order to like get a business loan. I feel like because people don't really know like the financial literacy behind it, but they shy away from it, but that's also hindering us when we grow. Like just because, like when you said, I'm not good with finding out financial stuff. I was like, okay, well, what you want to know? You have to find a network of people who are willing to help you with these things.
Right.
And I think that a lot, sometimes in our community, I mean, and I want to say, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Philadelphia is like, it's either like you're being too Joe, if you like bigging somebody up and saying like, oh, you know, can you tell me about this? Or we have that Philly mentality where it's like, I don't want this person to steal my idea or something like that instead of helping. So I don't know if that's just a Philly thing, but.
No, it's definitely a Philly thing. That's why I've met a lot of Philly people since I've been out here.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just been on the wave of helping each other out as far as this part, because this is the part where we had people who were doing the same stuff, but they weren't on that type of time of helping us out.
Yeah, because in Philadelphia, it's like, oh, you being Joe. Are you like, but the thing is, I don't have to put nobody down to big them up.
Of course
so not. It's like, there's that part.
And no, you know, it is too. It's not even a Philly thing only. It's anywhere where it's a bunch of niggas killing each other, to be honest with you. Because I've had Chi-Town niggas saying to me, I had this one boy from Chicago. He lived in Houston. and he got this, he got a brand, he got a nice brand about melanin. And I guess because my joint is melanin, he's like, oh, we're competition. I'm like, bro, I got a whole podcast. I sell one shirt. I sell one shirt. You got a whole clothing, multiple clothing lines. Like, why are we even competing? Why would you even put that out there in the atmosphere? And that's the crab in the barrel mentality.
It is. And the thing is, I think when people find people who are willing to help, it's like, oh, I didn't know this person would help me.
Yeah.
But it's like, you kind of have to kind of put yourself out there. But I hate to say it, but when you were like, I think it's wherever niggas get shot at, I thought about Chicago immediately.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Chicago. Like, yeah, I don't know why I thought about that automatically.
Yeah, it's like, because it's like I said, melting pot. I got the one boy I posted on my story, he from Oakland. Uh-huh. Shout out to Oakland, because Oakland got some real niggas there. Okay. And my barber.
I've never been, but
I've never been there, but I've had the pleasure of having, I got two friends. One's my barber.
Yeah.
His name's Calvin. And he put me on to a lot of good people, like just from going to his place and getting my hair cut and just meeting people.
Yeah.
So it's like, because of that, I've been able to experience different cultures of people and what they've been through. And like my guy who works in the he's the manager at Lids, and I make sure I come by. Like, I just was in there and he was in there by himself, and he was like, yo, oh my God, Julian, like, are you reading my mind, bro? I said, yo, I gotta come by and make sure you good, man. What you need? He's like, honestly, yo, I'm hungry. And I said,
okay.
And I said, hey, well, my dad blessed me with a couple dollars. I got you, bro. What you want?
Yeah.
And I went and got him a Monster and some food. And he was like, yo, bro, I appreciate you, man.
And he's like, all you need sometimes.
And he was like, Friday, I'm gonna grab two shirts from you. And I was like, well, take the shirts now.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you sure? I said, bro, you my nigga. Like, look, you think I worry about the money right now? It's gonna be there on Friday.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not a thing. And at the end of the day, it's also like free branding. I think that people don't understand. Like, they like, oh, if you wear somebody's stuff, because I know what I'm trying to transition into, like moving towards like black owned. I'm trying to do black owned anything. So
it's good, y'all.
So that's like the clothes that I wear and things like that. I want to branch out to like black owned anything. But when you're somewhere like Philadelphia, where everybody's like, oh, like you said, it's a crabs in a barrel type of mentality. It's like, oh, that's Joe. Oh, you bigging this person up, or you're super hype. Nobody has time for that, especially in business, because business is about networking.
Yes.
It's all about networking. You're not going to know the same thing that a person is going to know. Just like you're super good at tech, I'm good at finance. So we can work together.
And piggyback off each other.
Yeah, that's what it's
because
about.
Because if my mind is being wallowed and trying to figure out some numbers or crunch this in particular, like, you put me in a direction that it freed up like a good day of my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a good 14 hours of my life just by saying, hey, and it still might be a roadblock, but it allows my mind to think, oh, it just gives me different ideas, different options.
And that's what it's about. It's about, like, the thing is like, I've had plenty of people who put me on, and I don't even want to say black people, because I had some white people put me on some stuff too.
And they're the ones that's gonna help you.
Yeah, they'll tell you. They'll be like, oh, you want to know A, B, and C? Because there's some cool white people out there. Some white people for the culture.
I mean, not to cut you off, and I'm gonna let you go. But I tell people all the time. They're like, oh, you're just too Joe with white people and all that. I say, well, I mean, we had to be Joe with them to not be slaves anymore.
That's true.
it was some of them that became slaves for helping us out.
And my thing is, it's like, why does it have to be Joe if I'm just trying to hold a conversation? Just because my conversation may sound different with them than it sounds with you, they're not as relatable. I'm gonna talk to the white man different, because he don't understand what I'm saying. If I be like, hit me that joint over there, he's looking at me like, unless he's from Philly, then he knows.
But if I say New Jersey, because I met some New Jersey people and some New York people, and I'm like, damn, that joint fire. And they'd be like, yo, you from Philly, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. They're like, New York. I'm like,
okay, cool. They know the slang. Yeah, they know the slang. They know.
Like me and you, or anybody from Philly, or anybody from up the East Coast, we could talk to each other extremely fast.
Yes.
And you're gonna pick up on every single piece.
I'm gonna hear everything. Or you're
gonna pick up enough to get what the hell I'm saying.
Oh, but for
these Houston people, they just, everything's slow paced to them. Like, They have they have so much money that they don't care about making more money. Us, we a dollar, we lose a dollar. It's a lot.
Because they're not used to it.
Oh no, that's my shirt. Oh, okay. What's there? My podcast shirt. The shirt I'm wearing in my podcast. Oh,
okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Hello.
So nice. Never would that happen at the gallery. Well, the gallery's not even a thing anymore, but
oh no. Well, now the gallery is gentrified, so
now gallery is the fashion district, but okay.
Oh yeah, that's another whole. We're not even going to talk about gentrification. That's a whole different animal.
That's another one. So yeah, so even like with that, as far as like people like getting their like DUNS number and things, like I literally just looked up like the number to do it. People don't.
Yeah, I'm good, brother.
You type in good. DUNS number.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right, what's your name, man? Julian. Yeah, I'm out here. I got a podcast. Just trying to get rid of some of my shirts.
Yeah.
I
love it, man.
Yeah.
How much your shirt?
Normally a dub, but for fathers, I'm doing 15. Mm-hmm. And these are Gildan, so that's what I wear.
No,
that's my podcast. I got 2,200 listens. Okay. Actually, my homegirl, Kendra, real quick, hold on.
Are you fine?
Actually, my homegirl, we just recording a session right now.
Oh, wow.
About this, me and her talking about setting up small businesses in the community, like black people who are afraid to set up LLCs,
yeah,
and done, you know, getting their DUNS number, because there's a lot of minorities, especially black people, who have businesses that don't know how to properly
market.
Not even market. I mean, we can market because we're black, but not as far as like the government, like you're afraid of the IRS, and you know, setting up their business correctly to keep them away from like being sued if they have everything's in their personal name, separating personal and business from each other, and you know, bringing finances correctly back to our people, so they're not spending thousands of dollars in Gucci and putting it back into our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what inspired you to do it? I know that's a common problem, though, but not nobody.
Well, I started it in 20, actually 2 years this past July.
Yeah.
The main thing was like my mom was murdered 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So that's what triggered me to start. I just hit my 54th episode. Mm-hmm. So we talk about things from that. We talk about, you know, being a father, dealing with, you know, baby mamas, child support, toxic co-parenting. And it's usually a melting pot of a bunch of brothers, sisters, that is just talking, man.
How's your relationship with your boss, man?
Oh, we're good. He's actually coming down here. That's the only parent I have left. So he's coming down here actually to come see me next week, because I moved here last year. From Philadelphia.
Oh, from New York. Yeah.
So that's why we able to connect. I was just telling her about people from up East Coast, how we able to just, you know, we're born hustlers. Like, I'm just carrying, and the crazy part is my homegirl who makes my shirts, I've had this over 2 years now. Same shirt. I just wash it. It's Gildan. So it's good quality.
It keeps you warm. You know what I'm saying?
And if I'm going to wear anybody's clothing, it's going to be my own or somebody that's close to me.
That's a big deal what you're doing for the community.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather somebody hear it from me than hear it from a major corporation.
Yeah.
At least if I'm a talk. Somebody's gonna listen to me. Yeah. I mean, I got 2,200 listens, yeah. So somebody's listening to me.
For sure. You know, press into that calling more, man, because definitely, like, that discontent that you feel, like I said, that's a common thing. Like, it's a common problem. You think a lot more people talking about it, but not so many people are doing it.
A lot of people that, I've, especially young, I'm 36.
Wow.
I don't look it. I don't look it. Yeah, I was born in 1985.
28. Yeah.
You don't look it neither, brother. Yeah. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for this, like, you know, we gotta keep this up there. We gotta keep this up there. All right, what size you are? Large?
Yeah, XL.
I don't have any XLs, but large would be perfect for you. I wear a small.
Okay, yeah.
So, this is a small.
Okay.
And they don't shrink. They don't shrink at all.
Okay.
I wash clothes like a man. So everything go in, everything come out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's for you, brother.
Appreciate it.
And, hey, this right here, this gets you a lot. I mean, even though you don't have to worry about the play, but the women like I like seeing that type of stuff.
I'm married to Christ,
man. Hey, I know. I've been married for 6 years, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I have two sons that's in Philly still, and I have a daughter out here. She's 4.
That's one thing I want to, like, I think we got to push some more on my mom is just the, like, just the parenting, man, and, like, just the partnership in that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Dying to self. You know what I'm saying?
And, yes, and I mean, I grew up in a church. My father's a head deacon.
Yeah.
So I grew up knowing the Lord. I know He loves me.
Yeah.
And I know the universe got my back.
Yeah. I grew up in a church too, but the church can be a little bit religious sometimes.
Yeah, but thankfully, that type of church isn't like the, we go outside and we still, you know, I mean, we keep it in our heart, but church is a business.
Yeah.
It's an entity. Oh, no, that's not you, right? Okay, cool. All right, well, I was making sure it wasn't you. That's an entity. That's a business.
Fortunately, it shouldn't be. No. It's really to receive, freely to give, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he didn't really want us to worship in the building. It was as you go like us, like, hey, what's up with you and the Lord? Y'all good today? That's how it was supposed to be. And then we go about our business, and then eventually we'll run into each other again and be like, oh, last time we talked, you was here. Where you at now? But that's how, like, the universe has it pings people towards you. That's what it was meant to be. That's the first language.
You say universe, what you mean?
The universe, I say collectively of whatever you believe in. Because you got to think about it. Before, when we first was here, we all spoke on telepathy. That was the first language. Like, we talk with our minds. And then the Lord said, hey, y'all getting bored. Then we stopped being able to talk to each other. Now you got Islam, you got Christianity, you have Buddhism. They all speak different languages. We all worship one God. And then that splits down between prophets. You got Jesus, you got Muhammad, you got whoever the Buddhists believe in, you got whoever the Hindus believe in. But we all believe in one entity. That's why we're all the same people. Yeah.
Do you believe Jesus is more of a prophet than God?
I believe that, yeah, I believe that Jesus was a human like us. He just was more favored.
Nah, he definitely, the reason why he became human, you're right, he was man. The reason why he became man though, is to relate, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, he was God though, but like, yes. So, he didn't want to come in, and this is what a lot of churches do, they get twisted. They come in there and they flex the divinity, you know what I'm saying? But Jesus became man to save man. You know
exactly. But also show us that we're human,
yeah,
and we're allowed to make mistakes.
Sure.
And if we own up and we hold ourselves accountable, and we learn from those mistakes, that's
not,
what.
Not every time it's all demonic, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just like, even the devil, he needs us to do certain things for him to have legal ground. You know what I'm saying? But like, it's really his grace that helps us do the right things.
Yeah.
And it's praying into that. But like, as far as like even your purpose too, like, remember, you were created by him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So like, if you were created to solve a problem,
yes,
and then he will give you power to solve that problem at a high level.
The crazy part is you're the second person that I've met today just off a whim that has solidified what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's obviously God saying, boop, you need to talk to Julian right now. Or I see somebody else, boop, you need to remind Julian of the direction he's going to. What's your name?
Victor, brother.
Victor?
Yeah.
Julian.
Nah, Julian, man, you're blessed, brother.
Yes. If you happen to be on Instagram, my name on there is the same as the shirt.
Okay.
Look me up, brother. I'm always open to interviews, podcasts, and I'll pay you for your time, man.
Love what you do, man. For real, man.
Thank you. Take care of your family.
You too, brother.
Thanks, you.
Man, take care,
thank
man.
You for letting me talk to him. All right. Take care, Vic. Hello.
I heard so many podcast topics in there. I was like, this conversation is so many topics. I was like, I love it.
Yeah, and that's just me. Like, just I'm not even doing that. I'm looking around the stores.
Yeah,
talking to you, carrying a box.
Hey, you got to just get it. You just got to get how you live. People don't understand. Like, you got to do like what's best for you. First of all, I did not know you were in Houston for a year. I did not know that.
Yeah, February of last year, I came here with my wife. Jubilee was already down here with her family, and thankfully, I don't know what it was, but one day, like, we were just chilling at home. I've always wanted to move, but of course Jaden and Sage were just too young.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready to leave them, especially given the fact that I don't have a good relationship with their mothers.
Yeah.
So the last thing I need is anybody putting some dirt on my name that's not already there.
Yeah.
Or hasn't been added to it.
True.
So I waited, and thankfully I at the time, well, not married anymore, but when I did come down here,
yeah,
I was. So
yeah.
You know, with that said, it just was one of those things of, I know, brother. I'm trying to get rid of these shirts, and I'm gonna come back because my joints need to be clean. The brother here helped me out last time, and I only come to y'all to get my shit done. All right, brother. I'll see you in a little bit. Yeah, they clean your sneaks. That's another thing too. I'm not buying no more. I'm not buying no new sneakers. I got a pair of fucking 110 Air Maxes. I'm these bitches are getting clean. Like, what the hell?
When the guy said he was from New York, I was like, we were just talking about people from New York.
Listen,
literally. Just talking about people from New York.
Listen, we sitting there. Oh my goodness, man. I'll tell you one thing, yo. Houston got, I don't know what it is with the women, man, but yo, I thought Philly had some bad women like yourself. But Houston, I don't know if it's the heat. I don't know, man.
It's the ribs.
I don't know.
It's the ribs down there. I hear them. I hear them ribs is top tier.
The ribs, what they don't have is cheesesteaks. It was really pissing me off.
Well, you already know.
But the crazy part is I found a group of Philly brothers,
uh-huh,
who actually make homemade water ice.
Oh, okay. I'll be down for that.
Now, the good thing about the bad thing about it right now is that they don't have a truck.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't have the business backing like your boy Julian has.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Now, what I said to them is that if y'all help me out with a loan, I'll get a truck.
Yeah.
That ain't nothing. I'll get a truck. And yeah, we start really making, because they was out in front of like this store that they had in the third ward.
Oh, wow.
They had a little tent. They had a little tent out there. We were sitting out there and they was making money. People were just walking up. I'm like, yo, I'm thinking about,
because that's not something Houston probably got.
They got shaved ice.
Yeah, which is, I think shaved ice is disgusting.
It is, you know, that's the bottom of the barrel of water ice for us.
That's nasty. I don't understand that shaved ice shit.
Nasty. we used to take that and make juice and stuff.
Yeah, that's, oh, that's nasty. When I'm like, people like, oh, was I like, when I went to Virginia, they didn't know what water ice was. I'm like, water ice? They're like, oh no, we have. I'm like, yeah, that's not bad.
So literally this, yo, this right here. Now what I'm gonna do from this is I'm gonna go take this cash. I'm gonna put it. I'm gonna go deposit into my business account.
There you go. There
so
you
I can
go.
Show some type of cash deposits.
That's right.
And I'm gonna go from there because, yeah, it's time to get the car I want.
That's
it's
right.
It's time to get the place I want.
That's right.
It's That's time right. to get the studio I want.
And you know what? What banks look for is they look for. And this is for like any type of loan, but they look for your sources of your income and continuity of income. So if they see like you're consistently on a certain amount putting deposits in, then they're like, okay, there's money coming into this account. And that's whether it be, you know, direct deposit or, you know, something like that. They're looking to see that there's transactions happening like on a transactional account. That's right. What they're looking for. That you're using it for what it's supposed to be used for. So like that's why I stress people to A, have your business stuff together, make sure that you register your stuff as separate entities, and that's whether it's an LLC. Most of us aren't opening corporations, but some people like to get fancy, say they're opening a corporation. That's a whole nother barrel of stuff.
That's a big barrel, because when I was looking at how you doing, sir? When I was looking at setting up my when I was looking at sitting on, it had like S corps and
yeah.
So let me ask you this: before we started diving into that, what do you think like the first top five things someone who's starting an LLC, what should be like the starting point? Like somebody who doesn't know anything.
For now, when you say like the starting point, what do you mean? Like as far as like what
we already get? I have my business name.
Yeah,
I have my business name. I have the idea that I'm running with. But now I need to form an entity.
Yeah.
And so, like, what do you think? First thing is, like, getting an EIN?
First thing I would do, once I decide that I actually wanted to be a business, first thing I would definitely do is get the EIN.
So you could just go to IRS.gov and you could just, or you could just Google search EIN, IRS.
You can Google search. You can literally type in Google, how do I get an EIN? It's going to tell you to go to IRS.gov.
That's simple, right?
Yeah. So you go there. It took me 10 minutes to set up my EIN. You print out the documentation and then it's yours. So whatever you want it to be, you register it, it's yours. And that's what counts. Because say like you have a, say you have, you know, a lot of us have like the same names of stuff. So like when I was looking at Studio 522, there was another Studio 522, I think in like New York. Yeah. But mine is registered in PA. That's how you differentiate. Because if someone was ever say, oh, they're using our name. So if I was using your name and I was making profits and you weren't, I got the documentation. This is mine. So that's another reason people need to do stuff, because people will be like, oh, I'll back your business and things of that nature. But then the business might get big and then they want to take all the profit.
Yeah.
And it's not really there. So that's another thing when people mess up. They're like, oh, I'm a partner with this person. And it's like, okay, you partner with them. But then also, like, what are you getting off this percentage? Can they guarantee you? How much revenue can they guarantee you? People got to know that terminology and things like that. Because otherwise, you're going to find yourself, your money just going to be going to all these different places and you don't know what's happening, really.
Yeah.
So there's that. So I would say the first thing to do, I'm like, solidify that shit. If you got a business, treat it as a business. Get that EIN. So get the EIN. I would also, if you're doing, like, transactions, which most of us, for the most part, unless it's like a nonprofit, which is a whole nother bucket that I haven't even delved into yet. But if you're doing like transactions, so like when you said like you're selling your shirts and things like that, open up a business checking account. Yeah. Because once you open the business checking account, get you a business debit card, start to look at, if you're, depending on how many transactions you're doing, I always tell people it never hurts to start looking into, getting like business lines and things like that, because once you get an EIN, you'd be shocked at what you can do. So you get you like a Uline account. What's another one?
I have a Uline, but how do I? Let me ask you this, okay? Mm-hmm. Is it with Uline? Are you able to like pay later, or you got to pay whatever your invoice is up front?
No. So when you have like an EIN, it's a business account. You can do what's called a Net 30 account. Some people have Net 60 accounts, And basically what those are, net 30 means that you have 30 days to pay your invoice. So
that's like, something separate you guys sign up for, net 30?
Yeah. So you just call. So you will call like the places. And again, this is another Google search. You can say what businesses do net 30 accounts or net 60 accounts. You look those things up. You let them know. I think for my Uline one, I think I might have had to call. But I basically called Uline and I was like, hey, I want to set up a net 30 account. They were like, what's your EIN number? I gave them my information as far as my EIN, my address, my name, because I'm the owner. And then they set it up. And anything to build business credit, all you have to do is just like personal credit. You just have to order stuff and then pay it back on time. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, there's more to it than that, but business credit is a little easier than personal credit sometimes, I feel like. It's loopholes and things, but it's basically like you order it and you pay the shit back. That's basically it. So like my Uline account, I was like, what am I going to order from Uline? Because Uline, it's like focuses on stuff I'm used to seeing coming into an office building or something like that.
Right.
When I got on there, I realized Uline had a bunch of stuff I could use. So like they have things like if you're in a restaurant business, what I did was for my shirts, I ordered my bags from there, my tissue paper, stuff like that. And then I just paid it back. So that's how you build like your business credit. I have another one that's a Quill account. And Quill is basically, they focus on like stationery and things like that. So because I do people's resume, I order like resume paper from there.
Mm.
So, and they do have like certain things like Quill, their net 30 kicks in when you set it up with your business EIN and everything. And then once you order, I believe it was $100, then it'll say, do you want to like invoice by mail? Yeah, I do.
Wow.
I'm gonna invoice my mail. And then you just pay it.
I'm looking at the top. I just Googled. That's crazy, mm-hmm. Yo. I just Googled the top. It says, well, this is the top nine. They got Crown Office Supplies,
mm-hmm.
Uline, Quill, mm-hmm. Amazon Pay by Invoice, New Age Business,
mm-hmm.
Walmart, Grainger.
Yep.
Summa Office Supplies and Creative Analytics.
Yeah, now some of them didn't make sense for me. Like Grainger is like machinery and stuff like that. So Grainger didn't make sense for me to do. But yeah, like Amazon Pay by Invoice, one thing I didn't like about Amazon is that they were making it really, really hard. Not that it was too hard. So like you set up the business account, they don't really help you with this. So if someone wants to do Amazon, I would tell them to like call and have a representative walk them through it. So you go through the Amazon or whatever, and then once you put in your EIN and everything like that, it'll alert you. I think it's like maybe 7 or 10 days later that you're able to pay by invoice. So it's kind of like you have to establish the relationship first with them. I do have friends who have Amazon accounts and things like that. Actually, we have a mutual friend that has an Amazon account. We'll talk offline about that.
Okay.
But and you know what? They can tell you about it because they told me about it.
Right.
I'm trying to think like some other ones. So like Uline, Quill are my top, but you can do one at Staples.
Wait, what's Quill again? Because I know you explained it, but then I started Googling.
So Quill is like stationery and things like that. So like things you would use, like if you were like an office building, so you could get like office chairs, things like that. I ordered a water cooler for my house. like
nice.
Stuff like that. I just looked on there and was like, what are things that I can buy? Even just cleaning supplies and stuff like that, because when you order with the business accounts, you're getting a deeper discount. Right. And 9 times out of 10, you're getting like bigger quantities than what you're going to get in your regular Target or Walmart. So
right.
Even like when COVID started, I ordered like my toilet paper and stuff from there, my bleach and things like that from Quill, from Uline and things like that, because they were still trying to send things out to businesses, but it was hard to get things to residentials. So I utilized it a lot then. So I always tell people like the Net30 account, Net60 account, I always say those are the next steps if you're trying to like build your business credit and things like that. And then see, I didn't know you didn't know that. But no, yeah, ma'am. Yeah, I didn't know you didn't know that. But now look, now you know.
If you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. So I would say those are my top three things to do. And then of course, make your social media pages, like solidify your name, even if you don't use it right away, even if you post one thing a week. I'm trying to get better with myself with doing it.
Yeah.
And then commit time to your business. Like commit a certain, which is something I had to tell myself. Like sometimes you have to kind of write out like what your business plan is. Some people don't know how to make a business plan.
Right.
There are programs and things like that teach you how to do one. So there's one here in Philly.
I met a young lady who actually, she's very talented.
Yeah.
As far as like her, like the businesses aspect, mm-hmm. she's very good with manifesting like what she wants.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, you know, and then I try to be like, hey, this is what you need to do. This is, you know, just try to give them a boost. And it's just like, yeah, I see what you're saying, nigga, but you can't tell me to do these things and you don't got nothing to show for. And that's the part that really, that they'll trust a stranger.
Yeah.
But once I open my mouth, how y'all doing? That's my story, yo.
Damn, the owner, but you know, some people won't, but you know what? Some people won't receive it from you, but doesn't mean if you told them the information, you told them the information. That's all you can do.
That's all I can do.
I can't tell you how many people, like, I've been in banking for so long, and I will tell. Also, I've worked in, like, the cell phone industry. You worked in the cell phone industry.
Yeah.
How many times has somebody come to you about your phone and your family, and you'll be like, oh, it's probably this. You should probably do A, B, and C. And they'll go, instead of listening to you, like, you work in this industry every day. Instead of listening to you, they'll go sit at Apple for 5 hours. For Apple to tell them, no, you got to pay $500 mm-hmm. to reset this phone just to come back home.
And then they get mad at you.
And then, like, well, why did you tell me? I did tell you. I did tell you.
Why'd you do all that? Like, why'd you do
sometimes
all that?
You can't. Sometimes when people look at you, like, on a personal level, sometimes they don't think that you know the stuff. When they know you personally, they don't respect you professionally.
Mm.
So it's like, when I started
doing people's resumes,
until people saw a resume that I did, they were like, oh, I didn't know you do resumes like that. I know you said you did them. I didn't know you knew how to do them. Well, I said I know how to do resumes. What did you think I was doing? They think because they know you personally. They know you, they might know you play around and stuff like that. But when you want your professional shit, you want your professional shit.
Right.
So all you can do with people like that is just give them the information and keep on going. Like, it's like I told you. That's all I can say. Some people have to learn on their own. I'm really big on reaching out to my circle, whoever that is. So I'm gonna reach out to people that I know who are doing something.
yeah, that I want to do. So too, if you have that circle, you already know that person is gonna, like, you know, like when you told, like, even about the net theory, even about the other mm-hmm. information we talked about before recently, you know, I'm gonna run with that shit.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna run with it.
That's gonna do that. You know your people that's gonna do that. Like, if you were to tell me, hey, Kendra, this is the easiest way to build a website, I would be like, all right, let me go up on here and try it. Because that's just how I am. But then you have other people, you can tell them something, they will sit on it and sit on it and sit on it. And not because maybe they don't want to do it, but they may not have it in them to feel like, I want to do this right now. It may not be their time. Like, when you decide that you wanted to take Melanin Dance to the next level, like you said, something tragic had happened to you. And you were like, I got to find a way to deal with it. And then you realize you may not be the only person dealing. Sometimes it takes stuff to happen to you to inspire you to actually go through with it. So those people, it may not be that they're not listening, they're just not ready.
And the crazy part is, like, now that I automatically give that energy without saying anything, mm-hmm. like just right now, people are gravitating towards me because they're like, oh, I feel this from him. Mm-hmm. Let me just have a random conversation. Yeah. And I get it all the time. Like, and people close to me, like, oh, you just out here talking to strangers, because they don't know that. They don't know, you know, they don't know that part of me. You know, they only see what they see.
Yeah.
And it's like, it sucks. It sucks that, you know, that people judge you based on a personal level of you and not mm-hmm. the business part of you.
It's because they're not exposed to it. Think of, like, even people who know what you're capable of, they have to see you in different assets. Like, you know how I am socially. But if you were to see me, like, working in manager mode, it would be different.
Right.
I bet. Yeah. Like, now I've seen you in manager mode, but I've also seen you, like, as a goofball.
I'm naturally a goofball.
So I can see you, and me too. So you already know. Yeah. So I can naturally see you in both facets. I've also seen you in dad mode because I've been around your children. So, but like for you who may not have seen me in full mom mode, for you to see me in mom mode, it'd be different because you'd be like, well, I've experienced Kendra most of her life without kids. Now I see her with this child. And I'm like, whoa, look at her.
And I only know it's going to be leveled up because you got to level up when you got children.
Talk about it.
So I'm out in these streets right now. And it's like, I'm happy I got my, you know, I finally got, I'm able to be an adult for a change instead of taking care of people, taking care of kids, taking care of women. Like, everybody was
the codependency, like, all right, Julie, is off. The codependency is off.
It's off. And it's just like, I got to, you know, and it's like, I've been here before. I've been at the bottom, you know, through even when I was younger and not having options because I didn't have a job. I didn't have support. I didn't have, thankfully, I still have one parent living, my father, and he just randomly sends me money when I need it.
Thank you.
So, you know, but, and I said to him, like, well, you know, I'm about to come up, Pop, you know, I'm going to buy you that truck you always wanted. And that's all he says to me. He'd be like, I'm going to keep sending you money, Julian, but one day you're going to buy me that truck I want.
Yes,
I said, bro, I'm going to buy you that truck before, I'm going to buy you that truck faster than you think.
And then some. You just got to keep moving and just keep networking. Like, another thing that I tell people, like, and of course, like, I'm still in the phases of, like, getting my businesses off of the ground. But I, like, when I say, like, I sat the other day and I saw, like, myself come to a full circle moment when I passed, like, my bartending exam and I passed my mortgage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I passed those. I literally passed mortgage licensing yesterday.
That's huge.
It was crazy. But it's like, when you're very goal oriented, it's like you be like, all right, I did it, now on to the next thing. So I felt it and I was like in it. And then I was like, all right, you did that. What's next? Because I'm focused on the bigger picture of my. All right.
Hey, one thing I noticed about this app, for one, shout out to Anchor for being, even though they're owned by Spotify, they do a shitty job. You got about 44 minutes in the self-destruction mode. So I'm hoping, because even though I looked at this joint, it don't have, like, my files in there yet. So I hope I just didn't waste an hour of our time.
It probably has to, like, update or whatever.
That's what it says.
So we went to, let's see, we talked about the DUNS number. We talked about the business checking account. We talked about the five things. So we talked about net 30.
Let me ask you this. Now that we're talking about business bank accounts, mm-hmm. what do you think the best or easiest Because my issue now, let me tell you my issue. My issue is because my business is registered in PA. Mm-hmm. So technically me being here is a foreign entity. Unless I re-register with Texas. But Texas, I believe, is like 300.
Okay.
And I think when I registered in PA, it was like 175 or something.
Mm-hmm.
150 to 175 to register LLC.
Mm-hmm.
But the DUNS number is free. EIN is free.
Free, yeah.
So I'm about to start charging people to set up their LLC. I mean, LegalZoom do it for $1,000.
They do, which I don't get it. When they I don't see do that, anything. I'm like, people don't. That's when I was like, people must don't understand that. I remember I had a friend, and she was selling stuff, and she was like, she was like, I need to set up an LLC, but it's expensive. I was like, it's free. She was like, it's free. I'm like, yeah. She was like, it's free. She was like, well, how do I now? You'll save more money doing it yourself. So like when you were saying like the 175 and stuff, like all that registering, like I know that comes down with like when you're doing the fictitious name certificate and things like that, making sure you show up on the IRS website, but you'll still save money if you do it yourself versus having somebody. I think people just need the knowledge.
Or on top of that too, use somebody that you know that's local and pay them half that money.
Yeah.
Why are you not paying? That's the thing. Like, Eric, I'd be like, Julian, you could do this for me.
If somebody said, Kendra, set me up an LLC for $100, I'd be like, all
right. Right.
I'm like, you want me to literally go on IRS.gov and type in your stuff and what you do and print out the paperwork for you for $100? I will definitely do that.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, I've done stuff for people that were in my family.
Mm-hmm.
That, well, I thought it was my family. I've done stuff for them that they were going to pay a corporation to do, and they never paid me.
Of course. That's why you got to get deposits. Got to get those deposits. When you're doing stuff for folks, don't do things for people out of the goodness of your heart. Get those deposits.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, cool. Because somebody was calling me. I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, no, I can hear you. Yeah, make sure you get those deposits from people. That's another thing I learned in business. Get deposits from people before you start any work.
Oh, that's another thing. So I was doing construction with the people. And, you know, people, when you do work for people in Philly, like construction, we stick by our word.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my mans here thought that these niggas was the same down here. And he got burnt. And I was part of the job. So I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
No. He got burnt for doing, it was the first time I ever lift floor up in my life.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything without deposits. You have to show me the funds first. There's no such thing as labor.
I watched my sister, not my sister-in-law anymore, but I watched her dog for her so she could go on the trip. Now, she was going, none of her actual biological family wanted to watch her dog for her.
Mm-hmm.
But the brother-in-law said, hey, I will watch your dog for you. How much are you, because she was going to go to Petco.
Yeah.
How much Petco was going to pay you? Blase, blase amount. Cool. Me and you are good. When you think you can give me that money? I get paid on Wednesday. Wednesday comes up. Oh, I can't pay you. Why not? Because you and my sister are going through stuff.
Oh, so well, that's just bad business practices.
I'm like, but you're in another country right now. I'm at home with your dog. Now, if I was a if I was a real Philly nigga, I would have left that door open, that let that dog walk out.
Sorry.
And then got.